Hey everyone, welcome to the Contiki Podcast, the place to drop in and get double feature film recommendations from some of your favorite artists, musicians, and filmmakers. I'm your host, Eric Mahoney, coming at you from Brooklyn, New York, during the summer of civil unrest and global pandemic. On the show today, musician Brendan Benson. He has a great new record out called Dear Life on Third Man Records. Brendan also plays guitar and sings in the band The Raconteurs, along with bandmates Jack Lawrence and Patrick Keller of the Greenhorns, and also Jack White. Brendan sets a precedent on the show today as he decides to call an audible and switch his double feature selection halfway through. So I hope you enjoy the journey as to how we arrive at that decision. That's coming up in just a minute. Last item worth mentioning before we kick things off, the Raconteurs appear in a very cool, roughly hour-long documentary put out by Spotify and Electric Lady Studios for the 50th anniversary of that legendary and iconic New York recording studio founded by Jimi Hendrix. You can watch it for free right now on YouTube, and it's hosted by director and previous Contiki guest Jim Jarmusch, and features the band performing a very intimate concert at Electric Lady, as well as those guys recording a cover version of the song Blank Generation by Richard Hell, which is one of my favorite tracks of all time. Some very interesting information about the origins of that song as well, so that alone is worth the watch, but I highly recommend it. Check it out. And yeah, that song is an absolute killer. So some really cool history, good conversation, and a nice concert at the end of that. Okay, so let's get into it and delve into the winding road that is my conversation with Brendan Benson.
I'm rolling right now.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Thanks for being on, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah, of course. No worries.
I just had Jarmusch on, and then I just saw the Spotify thing with you guys performing an Electric Lady. That was really, really cool.
Thanks. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And great to be able to do it with Jim too. He's such a rad guy, man.
Yeah, he is a really, really great guy. And yeah, that space is incredible. I was working on a project there last fall for a couple of days, and I hadn't been in before, but man, it just kind of blew my mind to kind of walk the halls and talk with Lee about everything and just kind of, you know, just get the whole kind of sense of that. The history of that place is just really, really stunning.
It really is. It's kind of got a vibe, a real vibe to it, like, you know, just seedy New York vibe, or I guess whatever you want to read into it. You know?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah. Just thinking about all the albums that have been kind of created there and the people that have done that work was really incredible to me to just kind of think about that and take that in. So it was cool to watch that special as well. And I absolutely love the cover that you guys did too. It's like one of my all time favorite songs. So it was fun to watch that. I didn't know they were doing those.
Yeah.
So let's talk movies, man. You said you were trying to wrap your head around talking about the double feature pick.
Well, yeah, I just meant like I feel like it's, you know, my days are strange. Well, like everyone else's, I guess, you know, just, but I was just before this call grappling with some, you know, my equipment for streaming live, trying to figure out how to, I guess my point here is just that I'm wearing many hats. So, I'm like, you know, I'm the artist, I'm the artist, and then I'm the dad, you know. There's like, I just replaced some, helped my son with his skateboard this morning, and then I just, I'm just sort of thinking about how it's crazy. Now I'm supposed to talk about movies. Ready, go. You know what I mean? Like, so, but we'll see.
I feel the exact same way. I'm running a one-room schoolhouse for two kids. You know, I just got in from the park. I made them lunch. My whole day is basically 180 pivots back to back to back. So I completely understand where you're coming from.
It's like whiplash.
Yeah. Have you been doing through all this, you know, kind of surreal landscape that we've all been, you know, occupying here collectively? How have you guys been doing with the quarantine and everything?
I think we're doing okay. I mean, just trying to stay, you know, positive and sane and happy and kind of, cause you know, yeah, it's just so, like you say, surreal and affecting us all in different ways. You know, some people I know have succumbed to depression, you know, and like, it's pretty crazy circumstances. but yes, we are, I'm happy to report we're all healthy and, you know, staying relatively sane.
That's good. No, I mean, I think the baseline here for sort of quote unquote, you know, making it right now is that, you know, is everyone in the house feeling okay today? Are we all like mentally and physically well or well-ish? Is there food? Great. You know, check, you know.
It's just so strange, isn't it? Like you're kind of, you know, you're kind of evaluating your life, your whole life and what, how you base, you know, all these things that kind of, I don't know. You just couldn't, you know, thinking about makes me kind of think about friendships and what friendship is to me and, you know, if it's important to me and how important, you know, just the rashness of it. I think it's been a rash reaction in my mind, but I think that there's been some good that's come out of it. You know, yeah, like people discovering, having to kind of think outside the box, having to kind of roll with the punches, adapt, overcome. Or not, you know, and then realizing what is important in life and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Just, yeah, it's been thought-provoking. Just like, you know, these movies we're talking about, I guess, you know. I would prefer it to be in the movies and not in real life, though, but.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, everything does feel very, you know, like a movie. Well, and I mean, back to getting to some of the good out of it. I mean, I think these protests, I don't know that necessarily these protests would be happening had it not been on the heel of everyone being kind of pent up for 3 months, you know? So, I mean, it's just like, it's so layered and complicated and interesting. But I mean, yeah, that, I think that is some of the positivity that's come out of this, too, is just the unrest
enough. I think we've reached a breaking point, which is great because we've needed to get there. Hopefully it's a breaking point, you know. It's not going to be like, you know, it's not going to happen in one fell swoop or anything, but
it's so overdue. And I feel like hopefully if we are to kind of overhaul a lot of things in terms of our country's policies and thinking and systemic racism and capitalism and the way that we view our entire lives basically right now is going to be a marathon, not a sprint. I think hopefully we're in for years of change. I think there's going to be a tremendous amount of growing pains in that. But I mean, in order for us to kind of reset and reconfigure a lot of these deep, deep seated issues, you know, I think it's going to be a long time coming. I think there's so many things have been fucked up for so long that, you know, let's do it now.
Yeah,
you know?
And I think it's really for, not necessarily for us in our lifetimes either, you know, it's for our children. And I mean, like, I think my son will probably grow up, I think I can safely say he'll grow up in a country that's, you know, a little more compassionate and, you know, kind of intolerant, I guess, or, you know, some words that spring to mind. But, you know, so I maybe not in my lifetime, but hopefully for my son and daughter.
I hope so, man. I hope so. I mean, we have this whole election, too, that's like, it's kind of funny that it's even taken a back seat to everything else that's happening because it's such a huge election, too, you know. Yeah, I hope so.
Some ways it's kind of good. I'm glad because I'm just kind of, just despite, you know, that motherfucker, just because it's, you know, it's not his time. It's not his... He doesn't get to fucking parade on the... Sorry, let's talk about movies.
Well, what are your picks? I mean, I got an email from somebody about your picks. I don't know if they've stayed the same or if you've given it if you've done an overhaul. So let me know. What's your double feature recommendation today, right now?
Okay, well, it's The Shining, Stanley Kubrick's The Shining, and Billy Bob Thornton's Sling Blade.
All right. I like it.
Two movies that have like brought me so much entertainment. And each time I watch those movies, and I think I've watched them probably in the 10 to 20 times each, maybe. I learn something each time, or I get something different each time. They're those kind of movies to me, you know.
So in terms of the connectivity between the two, are they just two films that have just deeply resonated with you over the years, and they're the ones that you go back and you will watch that amount of time?
Yeah, geez, I hope that was a kind of I thought two of my favorite movies. They aren't necessarily. I don't know if they would work as a double feature. I think they're kind of both pretty intense and not. I don't think they would work as a double feature. So. Maybe I've totally gotten the wrong.
No, I think that's totally fine. I like this. I like both those films a lot. Talk to me about The Shining a little bit. Why has that been something that you've revisited so many times? I mean, I happen to love that film and Kubrick in general as well. But you know, what about that story or his telling of it really, you know, connected with you?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, when you say his telling of it. There are. I know there are many schools of thought about this, about The Shining, and you know, I think Stephen King kind of disowns it. Is that right? He thinks it's garbage. And I read the book, and I loved the book. I enjoyed the book. The movie's kind of a different beast altogether, I think. I mean, it's very, of course, got, you know, it's steeped in Kubrick. Deliberately paced, you know, his brand, his kind of stylized way, which I it's so strange because I don't necessarily say that I like it. It is intriguing the way it's like everyone's acting poorly or something. I always feel like in Kubrick movies, like he's like, no, you did it too well. Like, do it now. Deliver it with no, you know, don't act it. Or something, I don't know. But anyhow, but The Shining has just, I don't know, it's just been, you know, one of those movies from the soundtrack, I mean, from the opening scene, it's like shot from a helicopter, you know, zooming over the, presumably the Colorado Mountains, I don't know, it's just these mountains, and they're these, you know, the soundtrack, the score is like kind of semi-synthesized, you know, it's got these synths, but also kind of orchestrated and really, I don't know. It's just so powerful. These huge bum, 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 you know, and it's just like, you know, you're in for a trip.
I don't suppose they told you anything in Denver about the tragedy we had up here during the winter of 1970? Well, a man named Charles Grady is the winter caretaker. And he came up here with his wife and two little girls, I think about 8 and 10. From what I've been told, I mean, he seemed like a completely normal individual. But at some point during the winter, he must have suffered some kind of a complete mental breakdown. He ran amok and killed his family with an axe.
You did this to him, didn't you? How could you? How could you?
Here's Johnny!
And I just... The characters, man, Jesus Christ. The actors, Shelley Duvall, I mean, I guess apparently she was not... I've heard that she was, I don't know what, difficult on the set maybe, or just kind of, I don't know, she was kind of a source of contention on the set for some reason, but she is just perfect. Whatever she did, whatever she was doing, she's just so frantic and just falling apart. And
she's phenomenal. No, I think she's fantastic. I mean, I think Nicholson is obviously really great at being unhinged and does that so well. But the opening shot for me too is the whole thing. I've always just absolutely loved that opening shot. There's a couple of films like that. Aguirre, The Wrath of God, this Herzog film has an opening shot that's always just really blown me away. The Shining is another one that it's visually stunning, but it's also just it's just steeped with, you know, dread.
You know, dread,
you
yes.
Sort of know where this car is heading and how this is going to play out.
Yeah. Like, this movie is not going to be pleasant. You know what I mean? This movie is going to make you uncomfortable, you know. And then there's the kid. Like, there's the kid. I think it sounds to me like the kid screaming Danny. You know, his voice along with that soundtrack, they have like this scream going. It's just nuts, man. It's just that opening scene. It's like Saving Private Ryan. Might as well just be like the same, you know, first 10 minutes of Saving Private Ryan was the same for me. Like, I don't know if I can watch this movie, you know?
Yeah, that's another one. You're right.
And The Shining came out, I just looked it up too, in 80. Oh, wait, I think I have that right. 1980. And, I mean, no, that can't be right. That's Sleep. Wait a second here. Yes, 1980. So that makes me 9 or 10 years old. So, and I didn't see it I don't think I saw it in the theater. Although my mom and dad were really like, I wouldn't put it past them. Because they were young. Young parents, and they had, like, you know, they were going to shows still and doing all kinds of cool stuff, actually. But I think I probably watched it on VHS when I finally saw it, but or on the TV. I don't know. Anyhow, I mean, I forget where I was even headed with that. 1980. Oh, 9 or 10 year old kid, like, just seeing that. Imagine that. Jesus.
Yeah, that's heavy. That's heavy. That probably puts you about the same age as Danny, actually. He's got to be, it's probably what he is, right? 10 years old?
Come to think of it, I think you're right. And I probably related a lot to him. So that movie, yeah, it has just, I mean, really kind of, you know, now that I'm thinking about movies more, Alien is another one that had a huge impact on me as a child. Like, as a kid, you know, these are like The Shining, I feel like, did, and kind of almost traumatizing a little bit. But, you know, nothing, I shouldn't say traumatizing, but, you know, definitely has haunted me, you know?
Yeah, it's a film that does that. Yeah, I remember Aliens, the second one, was the first R-rated movie my parents let me watch. I will always remember that because I was so, so excited because they were sort of the other end of the spectrum with movies with me. They were very protective. And so, like, they finally let me watch that one. I remember just mine was blown. I was just so happy and thrilled, like, watching the carnage of Aliens.
The R-rated, yeah, the R-rated carnage. Is the one with the, you know, when the monster bursts out of the guy's chest. That was a...
Yeah, that's the first one.
I think that traumatized a lot of moviegoers.
What's the matter? The food ain't that bad, baby.
Okay. You chill.
What's wrong?
What's wrong?
What's wrong?
I remember my shrink actually from a while back. One of my shrinks said to me, told me that movie was listed in psychology books, or, you know, cited in books as, you know, kind of a phenomenon, like a societal phenomenon. Like, it really affected people significantly. Like, it hit something. It pressed a button in people. You know.
Interesting.
Alien and The Shining would have been a good double feature. Maybe we can change it. Can I just change it mid? Can I call an audible mid podcast?
You can call an audible mid podcast. You can go up to the, you can read the line and let.
Because I got shit to say about Alien or Aliens. I don't know. I don't even know the title.
Yeah, let's do it. We're setting a precedent on the show. I like it.
Sigourney Weaver in her underpants. Forget about it. It's done. It's over. The movie's like, it's sold for me. I love that scene. Are you kidding me?
No, that's burned into my, like, yeah, preteen.
Your young brain, yeah. Slipping into that astronaut suit. Oh, man. It's like, and you're not sure how to feel. Like, you're feeling like kind of aroused, but yet you're also like sick to your stomach from this alien shit going on?
That's hilarious. Yeah, I remember that, all of that very well, because I think I watched the first one then on the heels of that. So I think those two in particular, some of the things blur. That's really interesting what you said though about the thing popping out of the chest, because wasn't that a result of some sort of thing attaching itself to his face, and then it lays the eggs inside, right?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I'm sure the same was with Jaws. Is probably the same way, right? Is it in terms of a collective?
Yeah, it made everyone afraid of the water. I mean, like,
yeah, forever.
Literally, yes, forever. Like, including me, man. Fuck, I can't go swimming like at night or in dark water. Oh, Jesus.
I was just at the beach the other day and was telling a friend there. I am still trepidatious of swimming in swimming pools at night because of fear of sharks. And obviously I'm aware there are no sharks in a swimming pool, but nevertheless.
Yeah, totally. Me too. I think in a lake, in lakes, like swimming in lakes, what the hell can get you in a lake? Nothing, you know, but yet I'm like, I'm not going in there. There's fucking sharks in there in the Detroit River. But yeah, I think Alien and The Shining would actually be a great double feature, although it would, you'd be like rendered, you'd just be, I don't know, a shell of a person coming out of that one.
Well, that sounds like a good like fall night kind of double feature to me, you know, like that's a good October pairing, I think, you know.
Right, like a horror, just a horror night kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be into that.
I don't put those in horror or, I mean, The Shining I don't consider to be a horror movie or a horror flick, you know? I think it's like, I mean, of course it's horror, it's horrifying, but God, it's just so much more than that. It's so much more than, you know, it's kind of genre transcending, I think. So does Alien, man. I mean, really, it, like, those... For the acting, the caliber of acting in Alien, I mean, like, so you forget at all that you're watching a sci-fi movie, you know, an alien, a space, or an alien movie, you know, you're just like, you're just in this.
Both of those to me too, like, there's something about being stranded or trapped that both of those movies encapsulate. You know, one is you're snowed in at a remote hotel. There's nowhere to go, and you're there with a madman. The other one is you're in space. You can't get back, and you're being hunted by, you know, these alien predators that are at, you know, there's something about like that nowhere to go that really, I think, is terrifying to people in general. And like, you know, it kind of like brings about claustrophobia and just powerlessness and all kinds of stuff that I think wash over you as you're watching these.
Right. Insecurity. Like no, like trying to get home, trying to. And those are the kind of things like there's a word for those things. Those are the kind of things I think that are rampant in these movies, like real life stuff that you don't really necessarily even notice, or you're not conscious of. Like you're not conscious when you watch The Shining, you're not consciously aware of it, but you are kind of getting claustrophobic, man. All the scenes are kind of, you know, I mean, there's just this hotel. You don't really get, there's no like, you know, there's nothing else. And in Alien, you know, it's not like talked about or anything, but the whole thing is in space and they're trying to get home. Like they can't go home. And, you know, it's just, yeah, you're totally right. You're dead on, I think.
Yeah, I mean, for me, that's you know, whether or not that registers with you subconsciously or consciously when you're watching those, that innate, like, yeah, home is a really good point. You know, like not being able to be there or get there or be in safety, you know, is always
safety
in the
yeah.
back of our minds. So that's interesting.
Yeah, God. Yeah, I mean, and for maybe for those of us, you know, some people maybe don't respond. Maybe some people have a sense of, you know, a deep sense of security, so they don't, maybe it doesn't bother them so much. Maybe it's, you know, it's also to do with the viewer, you know, like me. I'm totally insecure person, so it makes perfect sense that I would be terrified of those movies or that they would affect me, like, really profoundly, you know.
Well, I think also the how imaginative a viewer is plays a lot into that. I mean, how easily you can project yourself into other situations Well, these two in particular would probably be more terrifying in the quarantine age too, as we are all sort of like kind of trapped a little bit too. So this is another layer of madness that we're sprinkling on this pairing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah. Gosh, I picked some winners, didn't I?
Cool, man. Well, I like this. I like the audible. I like the I like where we arrived.
Yes. I'm glad and
good journey.
I know. It was worth the journey, I think. Because I can stand behind this. I can stand behind this now. This is my double feature, is Aliens and The Shining. I love it. Is it Aliens or Alien?
You were referencing Alien, the original, I believe. So we'll go with that. Because I think all the scenes that you were referencing. So we're going to go with Alien.
Okay, sweet.
Awesome. Cool, man. Well, thanks again for your time. I really appreciate it. It was nice chatting with you, man. Best of luck during all
thanks,
this stuff.
Yeah.
And you and your family stay well. And I will talk to you on the other side of this, man.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate you having me.
You got it, man. Take care. Have a great day.
Okay, see ya.
So that's the program. Once again, thanks to Brendan for being on today. Again, his picks were Alien from 1979 and The Shining from 1 year later, 1980. Head on over to brendanbenson.com and check out the latest tunes, news, and links to his social media. Make sure you follow us as well at Contiki Podcast on Instagram and /Contiki Podcast on Facebook, and rate and review the show wherever you get your podcasts. I'll be returning next week with yet another exciting guest and an all-new double feature film recommendation and conversation, so make sure you check that out. Until then, hang in there. Keep your distance out there, and please wear your masks. Let's take care of one another, and also avoid looking like assholes to the rest of the civilized world. All right, we'll see you guys.